Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
People across the country and right here in our viewing area are finding various ways to pay tribute to Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. We'll share ways you can keep his dream alive.
And the snow is coming down here in the North Carolina mountains. I'll show you where we're seeing a few snow flurries locally coming up.
Also today, the first votes will be cast in the GOP caucus. But how will bone-chilling temperatures factor into today's election process?
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we are following some breaking news out of Willow Springs this afternoon. One person is dead, another is in the hospital after this dump truck overturned. This is Old Stage Road in Willow Springs. We do know one person has died, another transported to the hospital. We are unsure of that person's injuries right now, but this happened about 10 o'clock this morning. Sky 5 over the scene right now. You can see the creek where this truck overturned. It's suspended over the creek. Crews needed heavy machinery to get to the driver. We learned that the driver is still pinned. The driver is unconscious right now. Fuquay fire units responded to this. We're also hearing of a potential fuel spill into this creek. Again, this is breaking news out of Willow Springs on Old Stage Road. One person dead, another hurt. We will stay on top of this breaking news and bring you the latest from the Live Center.
Meantime, a few spotty showers out there for some today, and the coldest air of the season is set to arrive soon.
This morning, we spotted snow falling in Roxborough via our WRAL camera network. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth is here now with a look at who's still seeing a few flurries.
A few flurries still in the northern half of the viewing area, but the heaviest snow right now is coming down in the North Carolina mountains. That's where we have winter storm warnings and advisories in place. Here locally, we have had some flurries across the viewing area, mainly from the triangle and points to the north. And now it's our northern counties that still have a few flurries, some sprinkles, and a few sleet pellets mixing in. So it's a wintry mix. The good news for us is this is not going to cause any issue on the roads. We do not expect any accumulation here. It's just kind of neat to see if you're in our northern counties. Still a few flurries flying around in some of those locations, some heavier snow in Virginia, and that's where the heaviest snow will stay. Our flurry reports, we have several of them across the viewing area. It's in this area that I have shaded in blue. We've had multiple reports of some flurries, a few reports of some sleet as well, but again, nothing that has amounted to anything, which is good news for the area roadways. This is a live look at South Hill, Virginia. You can see the roads here are wet. Road temperatures are above freezing, the air temperature above freezing, and that's the reason we're not seeing any issue on the roads. 34 in South Hill, 34 in Roxborough, 44 in Raleigh and Durham, and 60 in Fayetteville. That shows you what a cold front can do to the area. It's kind of stalled just south of Raleigh. It's a lot milder down here to the south. Hour by hour today, we'll keep the clouds around, a few sprinkles or flurries in our northern counties with highs only in the low 50s. And then this is what's headed our way. Arctic air is going to move in starting tomorrow night. I'll show you how cold it gets coming up.
Amy, thanks. Honoring the memory and vision of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. on what would have been his 95th birthday.
A wreath-laying ceremony held in Washington, D.C. this morning at the King Monument. Dr. King was assassinated April 4, 1968, as he stood on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel, which is part of the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, Tennessee.
Today, hundreds of people gathered in RTP for the 44th annual Triangle Interfaith Prayer Breakfast, honoring King's legacy. WRAL's Ken Smith joins us live now with a look at today's event. Ken.
Benny and Jeff, this is an event that's attended by people from all walks of life and religious backgrounds. Each speaker, each musical rendition echoed this year's theme for the Interfaith Prayer Breakfast. It starts with me, creating a beloved community. As always, this gathering featured members of the clergy from different faiths, all coming together on one accord. This year's keynote speaker, Reverend Canon Sandy A. Wilson, Interim Dean of All Saints Cathedral in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, emphasized Dr. King's teachings.
This movement requires that you bring a clear mind to join hands with others of clear mind who want to make of this old world a new world. Home is where your heart is. Love and charity begin at home. You know, if you don't have it, you can't give it. And this world is desperately in need of love, compassion, truth, justice, and moral courage.
Reverend Wilson went on to say, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, and love what is good." She offered a call to action and encouraged everyone to honor Dr. King's legacy by helping to create a beloved community. The event wrapped up with an awards ceremony, including the presentation of the John Lewis and King Leadership Awards. Renee.
Inspiring words there, and Capital Broadcasting is proud sponsor of that event year after year. Ken, thank you. Following this morning's breakfast, hundreds gathered in downtown Raleigh for the 44th annual Martin Luther King Memorial March. Civic groups and religious organizations gathered in unison, singing and chanting. The march started at 11 a.m. at the State Capitol building.
Dozens of runners and walkers braved the frigid temperatures this morning for a day of service this King Day. Members of Black Girls Run Raleigh, Black Men Run, and Latinos Run met at the MLK Gardens in Raleigh for the annual Unity Run. Organizers say serving others in the community is one way to keep Reverend King's dream alive.
MLK Run, it is usually the homeless shelter because it's right in winter. And as you know, we are going to get slammed with the cold winter. So this is always a perfect opportunity to help North Carolina, help Raleigh, help Durham, help the area.
Participants brought winter supplies and toiletries to today's event that will be distributed at local shelters for those experiencing homelessness.
Within the hour, we've confirmed the name of the man arrested for firing shots outside a nursing and rehabilitation center in Wilson. The Wilson Police Department said the Nash County Sheriff's Office arrested Cameron Harrison, who is now facing several charges. WRL's Heidi Kirk is live in Wilson with the latest update from police. Heidi.
Good morning, Renee and the team back there. This started actually right here at the Wilson Pines Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, where Harrison fired those shots and then fled into Nash County, where he's said to have stopped at a home, lighting a car on fire, and then being involved in a standoff with police. We're going to take you straight to that video where WRAL was on scene last night. According to police, a dispute between two people in a relationship resulted in that shots being fired outside of this facility. The shots resulted in the facility being placed under lockdown. Now, Harrison is facing several charges of attempted first-degree murder, larceny of a motor vehicle, and burning of personal property. Now, we talked to police today, and they say that no one was injured, and they're continuing to investigate this, but there is no public threat. Back to you.
Heidi Kirk, live in Wilson. Heidi, thank you. One person is dead after a crash involving three cars on I-95 in Johnston County. This happened on I-95 South, just south of Four Oaks yesterday afternoon. Authorities say a woman drove across the median and hit two oncoming cars. The woman died, and at least three others were taken to the hospital.
It's caucus day in Iowa, and it's still unclear how much the weather will play a part today. Most of the state is seeing sunny skies, but dangerously cold temperatures. Doug Luzader takes us to Iowa for Decision Day.
The weather in Iowa is brutal. Temperatures here have been well below zero, and that's not including the wind chill. But many Iowans say they are ready to brave the conditions.
As long as the roads are passable, Iowans will get out and caucus. There's a lot of passion behind people supporting candidates, and they want to show up. And it's been this civic duty almost in Iowa for generations.
A former President Donald Trump is still commanding a sizable lead in the polls. But former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis are not backing down. Haley even overtaking DeSantis in a recent poll here.
I think Nikki Haley is showing a very, very positive effect in this thing.
I like being underestimated. I like being the underdog.
And sometimes Iowa does throw a curveball. Some voters here are throwing their support behind GOP hopefuls Vivek Ramaswamy and even Asa Hutchinson. It could be anyone's game.
I vote for a candidate, not a crowd.
As Doug Luzader reporting, caucusing begins at 8 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock central in Iowa, and they'll gather in person to try to persuade each other on who to support. We'll write down their choices on a paper ballot, and if all goes well, we could have some answers shortly before midnight.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, this just in, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was released from Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. That is according to the Pentagon. This comes 2 weeks after he was admitted for complications following prostate cancer surgery. Austin will work remotely for a period of time before returning to the Pentagon. His doctor said today that he is expected to make a full recovery. In a statement today, he thanked doctors and the excellent care that he received at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center.
Michelle, thanks. The Israel-Hamas war has passed the 100-day mark, and the conflict is having an impact beyond Gaza's borders. Iranian-backed Houthi rebels from Yemen attacked a U.S. commercial ship in the Red Sea. That comes just days after the U.S. and U.K. attacked Houthi targets in Yemen. Meanwhile, in Lebanon, Hezbollah's leader is vowing to continue confrontations with Israeli forces. Ukraine claims it destroyed a Russian spy plane over the Sea of Azov. If true, that would deal a significant blow to the Russian Ministry of Defense. Moscow has not yet confirmed the loss of the plane. A spokesperson from the Kremlin did not comment on the reports on today and referred journalists to the Russian Ministry of Defense.
People in southwest Iceland are taking cover after the second volcanic eruption in recent weeks. Molten lava is destroying homes and structures, but local authorities said there was no immediate threat to the residents of Grindavik, a small fishing town about 30 miles from the capital. People who live there have been warned to leave by tonight after volcanic fissures opened on roads in that area.
Next at noon, fallout continues after a door blew out of a Boeing jet. How the FAA plans new safety checks by going straight to the source.
Also, swatting at the White House, the false alarm that brought more than a dozen units to Pennsylvania Avenue.
Plus, an attack on a U.S.-owned cargo ship in the Red Sea. Who's responsible and how the U.S. plans to respond.
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
There is growing fallout for Boeing following that terrifying Alaska Airlines mid-air explosion. Now the Federal Aviation Administration says it is increasing oversight of Boeing's production line, extending the 737 MAX 9 grounding for new safety checks. NBC's Tom Costello reports.
10 days after a hole was blown out of the side of that Alaska Airlines plane over Portland, the accident has also punched a hole through Boeing's reputation with both passengers and airlines. That blown-out door plug now at the NTSB lab in Washington for analysis. As a critical Boeing customer, Alaska says it will now send its own inspectors to check the quality of Boeing's work. Alaska writing in a statement, "We will also enhance our own quality oversight of Alaska aircraft on the Boeing production line to validate work and quality." That move comes after the FAA announced it will not approve the MAX 9 to fly again until it's confident the plane is safe. In a statement, the FAA saying after reviewing Boeing's proposed inspection and maintenance instructions, the FAA determined it needed additional data before approving them.
This is a brand new aircraft. It has just come off the line and it had significant problems. And we believe there are other manufacturing problems as well.
This latest black eye for Boeing comes 5 years after those two deadly MAX 8 crashes overseas killed 346 people. The MAX 8 grounded for 2 years.
There's no doubt that the confidence that airlines have in Boeing at this time has been diminished as a result of this incident, as well as previous incidents. It's a cumulative effects that has been plaguing the 737 MAX.
Scrutiny also expanding to include Spirit AeroSystems, which manufactured the fuselage for Boeing with that suspect door plug already installed. Spirit AeroSystems has struggled with quality for years.
We're not going to point fingers there because, yes, it escaped their factory, but then it escaped ours too.
In a statement, Spirit AeroSystems says, as a company, we remain focused on the quality of each aircraft structure that leaves our facility. Former Boeing whistleblower Ed Pearson, who testified before Congress on the MAX 8, says he does not believe Boeing has addressed its core problems.
Even if a supplier makes a mistake, does something wrong, Boeing is supposed to catch it and supposed to make sure that that doesn't happen.
That's Tom Costello reporting. Meanwhile, Al Nippon Airways in Japan is investigating the cause of a crack in a window of the cockpit of a Boeing 787-800 plane. The crew discovered the crack about 40 minutes after takeoff Saturday. All 65 passengers and crew returned to the airport safely.
The White House was the target of a swatting incident this morning. President Biden was not in any danger because he spent the weekend at Camp David. Fire and EMS units were dispatched following a 911 call claiming there was a fire at the White House. The caller claimed someone was trapped inside. The call was traced to a fake number, and it was later determined to be a false alarm while the response was underway. The South is bracing for its first winter storm of the season. Winter storm watches are in effect through tomorrow morning, and forecasters are calling for widespread snow amounts exceeding 3 inches from Oklahoma to Tennessee and Mississippi.
NBC's Jesse Kirsch reports on record-breaking cold and snowy conditions affecting millions across the U.S.
This morning, an Arctic blast is sweeping the country. More than 100 million Americans waking up to bitter cold.
So when it's like this, right, and it's calm and it's just falling down.
It's fine. It feels good.
But when you feel that wind.
It feels really, I felt like my jaw was freezing. Oof. It was very cold.
In Grand Rapids, Michigan, today is expected to be the seventh straight day of snow. The frigid punch also hitting millions with bone-chilling temperatures, making the job even harder for first responders. In Oregon, officials say a woman was killed in an RV fire after a tree fell on the vehicle. First responders finding some roads impassable and a fire hydrant believed to be likely frozen. Much of the country could dip 20 to 45 degrees below average today, including parts of Texas, where cold weather has overwhelmed the power grid in recent years.
If you lose power, you lose heat, then you risk your pipes freezing. So, yeah, we might have to look into installing a generator just in case.
For those braving the cold, getting around has been a mess. Hundreds of flights canceled because of the storms, stranding passengers. Even Amtrak also canceling some trains. And driving has been treacherous too, with icy roads and blinding snow. Officials say this Colorado highway was hit by an avalanche.
It's overall just been a terrible, terrible winter. And it came out of nowhere.
And happening right now in the WREL Life Center, this is a look at that storm system right now. Tennessee really getting the brunt of that, as well as Virginia. Taking a look at flight cancellations and delays right now, 3,700 delays and about 1,925 cancellations. And here locally, Raleigh-Durham seeing 52 delays and 19 cancellations. Southwest, Frontier, American, Delta, all affected. So if you do have a flight today or you're expecting somebody, always good to check the flight before you head out the door. Let's get over to meteorologist Amy Wilmeth. She's tracking some flurries that we actually saw in parts of our area today.
That's right. It was from around the Triangle and points to the north. We had several reports of flurries, a little bit of snow and some sleet, nothing accumulating. But Roxborough, Franklinton, Wake Forest, Cary, all reporting some flurries, some light snow for a brief period of time in Roanoke Rapids, and a little bit of sleet reported up close to Lake Gaston. So we did have some winter weather of our own, but it didn't amount to anything. Still a few flurries flying around in the northern part of our viewing area. I couldn't find any on our cameras right now, but we did see some just a short time ago close to Roxborough, over into Granville County, perhaps a few flurries flying around and getting up to South Hill. But again, not amounting to anything. The road temperatures are too warm and the air temperatures are too warm, and we didn't really get much precipitation anyway. But over the North Carolina mountains, that's where we're starting to see the snow pick up, and they are under winter storm warnings and winter weather advisories. A look at the 24-hour snowfall report for the North Carolina mountains. They've had some heavy snow already, more than 4 inches in a few spots. So winter storm warnings, winter weather advisories in effect for western North Carolina only, not in effect for us. This is a live look at Beach Mountain, and it's a whiteout with the way they've zoomed in here. They're going to zoom out a little bit. You can see a lot of skiers there getting some fresh snow in the North Carolina mountains as we wrap up the long holiday weekend, which is a very busy weekend in the North Carolina mountains, especially at the ski resorts. For us here locally, a few sprinkles or flurries still possible for the next hour or so in our northern counties. Not a big deal. Take a look at the temperatures at 6 o'clock this evening. Staying in the 40s in our northern counties, low 50s in the triangle, mid 50s down to the south, but we could stay in the 60s down here for a little bit throughout the afternoon today. Ahead tomorrow, we'll wake up to partly to mostly cloudy skies with temperatures above freezing. We do have a low pressure system that's going to swing along the North Carolina coast. A few showers will be possible in the southeastern part of the viewing area tomorrow afternoon. afternoon. It's going to be a chilly rain. Look at the temperatures in the low 40s, upper 30s, with some of the light showers impacting the southeastern half of the viewing area. And then that rain moves out by the evening commute tomorrow, and then the cold air arrives. The Arctic air arrives after the precipitation that moves in tomorrow. And you can see that 28 in Roxborough tomorrow evening around 6 o'clock. Right now, temperatures are in the 30s in our northern counties, mid-40s in the Triangle, 60 in Fayetteville. A huge spread in temperatures because of the cold front that's moving through. We'll stay in the 40s, 50s, and 60s today, so that range of temperatures will continue. Tonight, we'll get down into the 30s and 40s. It should stay dry overnight tonight. The Arctic air arrives tomorrow night. We're going to get down to 20 Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. It stays cold for the rest of the week, especially into the weekend. 17 for the low Saturday night.
Amy, thanks. Here's a look at what we're following for our evening news. Tonight at 6, a global investigation into lead-tainted fruit pouches started right here in North Carolina. The specialist who helped uncover the problem explains how his team figured out that applesauce was poisoning children.
And the FDA has warned about overdoses, even deaths, linked to products being marked as dietary supplements. WRL found the so-called gas station heroin here in the Triangle. At 5, its effects and why it's so easily accessible. And still ahead this noon, AI is everywhere. Now one big box chain hopes to use the technology to improve customer shopping experiences.
Also, Hertz is getting rid of its fleet of electronic vehicles and electric vehicles and returning to gas cars instead. How the move could translate to big deals for customers.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we want to take you back out to that breaking news in Willow Springs. One person is dead, another is hurt after a dump truck turned over into a creek. This is on Old Stage Road in Willow Springs. We know one person has died. The other was transported to a hospital. We are unsure of the injuries, the extent of the injuries for that person, but that truck was suspended over the bridge. The tow truck just arrived to try and get the truck out of the bridge. We're also hearing this afternoon there might have been a fuel spill into that creek. This is breaking news. We're going to stay on top of this and bring you the latest from the Live Center.
Stock markets are closed on this King holiday, but we are anticipating some key economic reports due out later this week. Maribel Aber reports from the NASDAQ market site in New York with the reports we can expect.
The stock market is closed today in observance of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And when trading resumes Tuesday, Wall Street will be looking to see if stocks can do better in the second half of January than they did in the first part of the month. The big name techs that led the year-end rally have been weak to start 2024. And all three of the major indices are either little changed or slightly lower on the year so far. As far as economic data goes in the week ahead, it's a fairly light schedule. Retail sales are due out Wednesday. That will give us some idea of how the American consumer was spending in December during the holidays. And plenty of news on the housing market is expected. Figures on housing starts are due out Thursday. Friday brings the latest look at existing home sales. And just how are we feeling about the economy and inflation? Well, a report on consumer sentiment is due out Friday as well. If you're hitting the stores over the holiday, look for markdowns on winter clothes and maybe even early sales on Valentine's Day items. That's a look at business news this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ market site in New York.
Hertz is selling tens of thousands of its electric vehicles, which means some customers stand to save big bucks. Hertz is making changes to move some of its fleet to gas-powered models. More than 600 Teslas are up for sale, including recent Model 3s and Model Ys. Prices are as low as $21,000, making savings for potential buyers up to almost 40%. And buyers of used EVs are eligible to get a $4,000 tax credit.
Costco is testing out a new way to verify memberships. A new membership card scanner at the entrance would verify if the photo on the card matches the shopper. Customers who are not Costco members can purchase prescriptions from the pharmacy, but to enter the warehouse, you have to be a paying Costco member. Meanwhile, another big box store wants to speed up the exit process. Instead of checking receipts at the door, an AI tool will scan customers' shopping carts as they exit Sam's Club to verify all purchases, even bigger items like TVs or beds. The new process will also help eliminate long waiting lines and cut down exit time. Nearly all 600 Sam's Club stores will have the technology by the end of the year.
An attempted attack on a U.S. ship is one of the latest aggressions from widening war in the Middle East. how Israel is marking 100 days since its war with Hamas started.
Vaping has long been seen by people as a good stepping stone to quitting cigarettes. Researchers are now learning the full extent of the damage e-cigs can cause. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Durham Public Schools employees are reaching out to WRAL about a major issue with their pay. The school district confirms salaries for classified employees were overpaid from July to December of last year. WRAL's Monica Casey has been digging into this issue. Monica, what can you tell us about this?
Well, we are hearing from DPS employees that not only was there an overpayment issue, some are now pushed into a different step on a salary schedule that does not honor years of past service other places. Employees are telling us if they worked in a different district or a private sector, DPS previously honored those years and placed them on a step to reflect that. They say now that's changing and some employees are making a lower salary because of it. In a statement sent to WRAL on Friday, DPS says the issue of how the district will address overpayments is still under review. That statement says affected employees will be placed on the correct step beginning with the next paycheck. In that statement, the superintendent apologizes for the issue and says the district will continue to work with employees through that transition. The district's chief financial officer has been suspended. Jeff?
That is eye-opening. Nobody wants to pay to go in that direction. Monica Casey, live for us this noon. Thanks for that update.
As the Israel-Hamas war reaches 100 days, Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu vows to increase its military pressure and keep fighting. Meanwhile, Hamas is marking the milestone by releasing a disturbing new video showing three of the hostages who are still held in Gaza. NBC's Richard Engel reports from Tel Aviv.
Israelis and Palestinians are both marking a grim milestone, 100 days since Hamas militants entered Israel and carried out a massacre. Thousands of Hamas fighters broke out of the Gaza Strip and went on a killing spree for hours, killing 1,200 Israelis, kidnapping hundreds. All weekend here in Tel Aviv, there were demonstrations and rallies, many of them held by families of the hostages. About 100 hostages are still alive in the Gaza Strip, according to the Israeli government. Hamas released a video showing three of the hostages, saying that their fates would be revealed at a later date. There's a lot of anger in this country, particularly among the hostage families, at the Israeli government, at Prime Minister Netanyahu personally, who they blame for not doing enough to free the hostages. But the military campaign continues, a military campaign that Israel says is designed to destroy Hamas, but which is also destroying large parts of the Gaza Strip. The health ministry in Gaza just this morning said that the death toll in Gaza, the health ministry run by Hamas, has now topped 24,000. Medical officials say that there are near famine-like conditions in Gaza with chronic shortages of food, medicine, fresh water. People in Gaza say that they are all being treated like human shields. Israel and the United States accuse Hamas of hiding in tunnels under hospitals in built-up areas. But Palestinians say since they are penned in Gaza, the 2.3 million people there, that they cannot leave the Gaza Strip even while it is under attack, that they are all effectively human shields. And this war is now spreading beyond the just Israel and Gaza. There are continued attacks from the north, from Hezbollah in Lebanon. And just overnight, there was another attack by Houthi militants based in Yemen firing on a U.S. warship. The missile was shot down, according to the Pentagon.
That's Richard Engel reporting. Police in Philadelphia, meantime, are looking for a person who spray-painted a swastika on a Holocaust memorial early Sunday morning. Philadelphia Holocaust Remembrance Foundation released an edited security camera video showing a man caught in the act of tagging that building. The incident happened around 1:30 in the morning at the Horowitz Wasserman Holocaust Memorial Plaza. It's dedicated to those killed in the Holocaust and has been in the city since the 1960s.
To see it firsthand it's sad, it's scary, but I think it's kind of the burden that you're born with, and being Jewish, and it's a responsibility to teach people, to educate people that hate isn't the way forward, and hate doesn't help anyone.
The Anti-Defamation League says anti-Semitic incidents have skyrocketed 360% in the 3 months following the Hamas terrorist attack on Israel in October.
Starting tomorrow, the City of Raleigh and the South Park East Raleigh Neighborhood Association will offer free workshops to help the community find their African-American roots. The two workshops will be a series of classes held on Tuesdays in January and February. Instructors will teach residents basic genealogy skills while exploring online resources. Workshop registration is limited and registration is required. It's free for people 18 and older. For more information, visit the City of Raleigh's website. Vaping, while not as harmful as smoking, can still be bad for your health. How a new study shows, it can even damage your airway.
This is all good. A Johnston County native is the new Miss America's teen. What the crowning moment was like for Hanley House. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app. Researchers are highlighting how e-cigarettes and vaping can put you at risk for viral infections. Experts created a breathing simulator for the study and then tested different devices and flavors to see how they would impact cells in the airway. They discovered that no matter the device or flavors introduced, they all caused harm. However, the combination of flavor and nicotine were said to be the worst. They determined that using e-cigarettes or vapes can put a person at greater risk for viral infections like RSV.
Why is it important? Because if an integrity of the airway barrier is disrupted, everything can get in, like other viruses can get in, or other pollution or allergens can get in.
More research needs to be done on the long-term effects, but researchers strongly encourage anyone who uses e-cigarettes or vapes to quit.
Just 2 days after celebrating winning the national title with the Michigan Wolverines, head coach Jim Harbaugh is set to be interviewed today by the Chargers. Last week, there was speculation that Harbaugh was looking to move back to the NFL after leading his alma mater to a championship. The Chargers have interviewed a number of other candidates for the job, including Ravens defensive coordinator Mike McDonald. Now, McDonald spent one season working as the Michigan defensive coordinator under Harbaugh. The road to the Super Bowl continues. Tonight at 8, the Philadelphia Eagles face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFL wild card game. You can watch that at 8 on ESPN. Saturday on Fox 50, the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers meet. Watch that game at 8 on Fox 50. The winner of tonight's game will travel to Detroit for the divisional playoff, and that game is Sunday at 3 on WRL.
A familiar face is returning to America's Got Talent after spending several seasons out of the judge's chair.
It's 40 different acts from all over the world that are chosen by the public. So why would I not come back?
We will tell you what you can expect from America's Got Talent Fantasy League tonight.
Plus, people from four continents compete for the chance to own a script from a cult classic comedy. Coming up, find out how much the coveted script sold at auction. A Johnston County teen is celebrating a huge achievement. Hanley House is this year's Miss America's teen. She attends Cleveland High School and studied ballet at Joffrey Ballet School in New York City. And as a winner of the Miss America's teen competition, she gets $60,000 in scholarships to a school of her choosing. That's on top of the scholarship money she earned by winning the evening gown and fitness preliminary competitions. House is the first Miss North Carolina's teen to hold this position. And she says hearing her name called was an emotional moment.
I was so happy when they called my name. I literally started screaming, crying, everything. Everybody was like, your reaction, Hanley, it was so funny. I was like, it was so real. A huge thank you to the Miss America opportunity, the Miss North Carolina organization. I wouldn't be here without all of you guys. And so I really just thank you.
House will serve alongside Miss Colorado Madison Marsh, who was crowned Miss America 2024 last night.
A familiar face has returned to the judging chair this month on America's Got Talent Fantasy League. But Mel B is back to do more than just judge when tonight's episode airs. Mark Barger explains.
Hola.
When AGT called,
Mel B, everybody!
How excited are you?
It didn't take long for the former judge to say yes.
So why would I not come back? It's exciting and it's different.
Fantasy League has Mel B and her fellow judges drafting.
Sheldon Riley.
And mentoring their own team of AGT favorites.
This is what I want your help with, because I'm just like,
I'd love to see your face.
Her support emboldened the self-conscious Australian singer to remove his trademark mask midway through his performance.
So for him to feel comfortable and confident enough to actually take it off, you know, mid-song, it was like an aha moment. I was really proud of him.
Riley wound up advancing to the semifinals, while British roller skaters Billy and Emily went straight to the finals. Thanks to Mel B's golden buzzer, which allowed her to steal them from Simon's team.
That was the best thing ever. And then on top of that, his act were like, yes, we're so happy we're on your team now, Mel B.
And Simon's not one to let a challenge go unanswered.
I stood there. I didn't sing. I felt like a Spice Girl.
I got to throw water on Simon again. I got to hear Howie chewing my ear off. It's like, you know, family. We love each other and we annoy each other.
Just like families tend to do. Mark Barger, NBC News.
It's going to be a lot to take in. Yeah. America's Got Talent Fantasy League airs tonight at 8 p.m. here on WRAL.
Mel B adding a lot of spice to AGT right
True
there.
True that, no doubt.
Yeah, and speaking of fantasy leagues or fantasy, if you're dreaming of a winter wonderland.
Snow league.
Yeah, go to the North Carolina mountains. Amy Wilmot, look at that. I'm actually a little jealous looking at all those folks having fun there.
I know, same. This is great timing for the skiers that were there for the long holiday weekend. It's usually a very busy time at the North Carolina ski resorts. We're seeing the snow coming down at App Ski Mountain. I showed you Beach Mountain earlier. This is Winter Place Ski Resort, the snow coming down there as well. They have the potential to get snow throughout the day today, and this is going to continue overnight tonight. Up to 8 inches possible in the higher elevations, 3 to 5 inches of snow possible in the lower elevations. Our little snow flurries were just kind of cute that we had today. It was from around Wake County and points to the north. A few flurries, a few sleet pellets. Definitely didn't add up to anything. It's just too warm here at the surface to do much, and we didn't really have much precipitation anyways. This is a look at the live dual Doppler 5000 right now. All the precipitation in our northern counties right now, it's generally just a few sprinkles and a few flurries, and that's about it, and it's moving away from us. We do have the opportunity for some additional rain tomorrow in our southeastern counties, but it's just going to be some light rain. Temperatures right now, check this out, 34 in South Hill, Virginia. It's 44 in Raleigh, 60 in Fayetteville. We have a cold front that has stalled over the area, and you can see how our temperatures, we just have a huge range in temperatures. If you're on the north side of this front, it is cold. If you're on the south side, it feels kind of like spring with temperatures in the lower 60s. Everyone will get in on the big chill starting tomorrow night. This is going to be the coldest air of the season. We're likely to dip down into the teens and low 20s tomorrow night. Look at the wind chills right now. It feels like minus 20 in Chicago and Minneapolis, minus 25 in Winnipeg, minus 34 is what it feels like in Great Falls, Montana. And we'll get two waves of this Arctic air. The first one arrives tomorrow night into Wednesday morning. This is the wind chill. This isn't the actual air temperature. I'm going with a low of 20 degrees Wednesday morning in Raleigh. The wind chill 16. So it is going to be bitterly cold stepping outside Wednesday morning. You're definitely going to want to bundle up. Today's actually going to be the warmest day in the next 7. Once the cold air gets here, it just stays for a while. The second surge of Arctic air is going to arrive late this week and into the weekend. Look at Saturday morning at 6 a.m. it could feel like 9 degrees. We could have negative wind chills in the North Carolina mountains. This is some really cold air that's going to be moving in, and you need to take it seriously. Bring in the pets. It's way too cold for the pets to stay outside tomorrow night and for the end of the week with temperatures like that. Saturday afternoon, the wind chill 20. So it could feel like teens to around 20 all day Saturday. It is going to be very cold. By the time we get to Sunday, that Arctic air is going to retreat back to the north, but we have several days with cold temperatures on the 7 day. If you don't like cold, don't look at the 7 day. It's going to be chilly tomorrow, 48, a couple of spotty showers possible, especially south and east of the triangle, 20 tomorrow night, 41 for the high on Wednesday, chilly Thursday and Friday, and 30s for highs over the weekend with lows down into the teens. Brutally cold temperatures settling in.
Going to have to wear two puffy coats, I suppose. Amy, thanks. A homeowner in California deserves the Nerves of Steel Award after finding a bear napping in her basement and somehow keeping her cool. How she was able to coax it out of her home.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Developing news this noon, one person is dead after a dump truck overturned. Another person is in the hospital with injuries. WRL Sky 5 was over that scene on Old Stage Road in Wake County as authorities responded. We're still working to learn what caused that dump truck to end up in the ditch.
Within the hour, we've confirmed the name of the man arrested for firing shots outside a nursing and rehabilitation center in Wilson. Wilson police say the Nash County Sheriff's Office arrested Cameron Harrison, who is now facing several charges. Police say a dispute between two people in a relationship resulted in a shot being fired outside the rehab facility.
Today, hundreds of people in RTP for the 44th annual Triangle Interfaith Prayer Breakfast, honoring Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy. Each speaker, each musical rendition echoed this year's theme for the Interfaith Prayer Breakfast. It starts with me, creating a beloved community. Capital Broadcasting is a proud sponsor of this event.
Haribo gummies started the new year off right by breaking a Guinness World Record. The German candy company now holds the record for the world's largest gummy mosaic. It was made up of more than 150,000 individual gummy bears. It took 300 people at the University of Wisconsin about 4 hours to build it. And that site was chosen because it was the company's first American manufacturing facility.
An English auction house makes a lot of money saying goodbye to two friends. We first told you about two scripts written for the TV sitcom Friends last week. A 60-year-old former studio assistant almost threw away the scripts. The auction house thought they might sell for about $650 or so, but boy, were they wrong. The scripts for the two-part episode when Ross gets married to Emily but blurts out Rachel's name during vows sold for nearly $32,000.
Oh, we remember that episode.
Whoops.
Talk about getting the shock of your life. A California homeowner found a bear in her basement over the weekend.
Bad bear. Bad.
The homeowner was alerted by her Ring doorbell camera around 4:30 in the morning. And then at daybreak, the homeowner went down to her basement and saw the bear nestled in the corner, falling asleep. The homeowner then tried to get the bear to leave by banging on pots, pans, and even a leaf blower. But it ended up being the stench of mothballs that she threw toward the bear that made it scurry away.
Scolding it helps too.
Bad bear.
Our pet of the day comes to us from ARF. Meet Theo. His love language is spending time with his person and playing with toys. We're told he was tortured as a puppy. His dream is to make up for lost time and would benefit by being adopted by someone who's retired or working from home. He's very thankful and his heart would heal with a new life of your love and touch. Meet treats and toys. Call ARF if you are interested. Today marks the start to the 2024 presidential race with the Iowa caucuses as voters deal with the freezing temperatures there. Ahead on our news at 4, where the polls stand in the Republican primary and how the cold weather could play a role in today's proceedings.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.